This is The World. I'm Lisa Mullins. Today for our musical closer, The World's Marco Werman returns to Elmhurst, New York, to find out how so many record stores, like so many ethnic groups in the Queens neighborhood, manage to survive.
Once you're at 80th Street and Roosevelt Avenue, and for the next 10 blocks, you find no less than 40 shops selling CDs from Latin America's top singers and bands. This shop is typical. Tucked behind a trailer selling tacos right on Roosevelt Avenue, you could almost miss its sign that reads, Ventos de CDs y Casetes. Judy, who works at the small music shop, emigrated from Peru a dozen years ago.
We have Spanish rock, salsa, merengue, and Mexican music, cumbia, Colombia music, all that. I used to hear it in my country like...
For the most part, all the tiny record shops in Elmhurst sell top 100 CDs, acts that are distributed here by the Latin merchandising arms of major record labels like Sony and BMG. You can find this current hot seller, Erróneas by Mexico's Víctor Manuel, pretty much everywhere. Dime, ¿cómo te han ido las cosas después de todo este tiempo? ¿Qué has hecho en la vida para comenzar de nuevo? Si has cambiado o siguen igual tus sentimientos, dime si al igual que yo no has podido escapar de tantos recuerdos. Víctor Manuel is one of the CDs recommended by Raúl Reyes, who runs Queens Music down on Roosevelt Avenue at 86th Street. Reyes is a 30-year-old Mexican immigrant. He sits perched behind his counter like a pharmacist ready to fill a prescription. Reyes has a stock of some 5,000 titles, and he knows that there are lots of other shops with just as many.
There's a lot of competition, but the more competition, the more stores there are, is better for us. Because if the other guys don't have it, I have it. If I don't have it, the other guy has it. So if you come into my store and I don't have the merchandise, that's too bad for me.
Well, that's a very sort of spirited way of looking at competition, because often in the United States you see companies and they want to eat everybody up around them and they don't want the little guys to survive, where it seems here it's more cooperative.
Well, I'm not an ambitious person, you know. And if it, a store or somebody else wants to open a store in front of me, that's fine with me. You know, there's money for everybody.
Dog-eat-dog competition among some shop owners appears absent in part because of a legacy of getting along in Elmhurst.
You find on each street or each apartment building floor people from many different parts of the world living together, and with very, very little tension or conflict compared to other neighborhoods in New York City.
Queens College anthropologist Roger Sanjek, the author of The Future of Us All, about race and politics in Queens neighborhoods like Elmhurst, says that after the initial burst of immigration in the 60s and 70s, residents knew they had to work together.
By the 1980s, people were settling into the neighborhood and understanding that they were neighbors and they had to deal with quality of life problems, cutbacks from city budget. People came together around building more schools because the schools were so overcrowded. The churches played a very important role. The older churches were declining in number and realized they had to become interracial and multi-ethnic if they were going to survive, and in different kinds of ways they did. I think women leaders in the community board and civic associations also started to break down and move across the barriers of race and ethnicity. So there were a lot of things that were bringing people together. Not so much an attempt at Brotherhood Week, but sort of solving neighborhood problems, dealing with conditions that affected everybody because you live here. And those seem to be the things that made a big difference.
Rafael Gonzalez Jr. was born in the United States to Cuban parents. His music store on Roosevelt, Bahia Records, has been around for over 25 years. Gonzalez says there's a downside to the heavy immigrant traffic in Elmhurst.
My friend who owns a hardware store not far from me, his biggest business at the end and beginning of the month are making new keys because of the turnover of people in the neighborhood. There are so many customers that arrive on a monthly basis and so many customers that are leaving on a on a monthly basis that it's almost impossible to establish some type of customer loyalty because it's just so much of a turnover and people coming and going.
Still, the fact that so many record stores do manage to survive side by side says a lot about how well the Latino community of Elmhurst functions as a whole. And as Roger Sanjak from Queens College explains, what's inside the record shops, the inventory, is equally revealing.
Whatever starts out serving one particular ethnic or immigrant group slowly begins to become more multi-ethnic over time. So we see in the Latin American music stores, a store may be opened by a Colombian, but to stay in business, they've got to satisfy their Dominican and Cuban and Argentinian, Peruvian customers. So people find for business reasons, for practical reasons, for paying the rent, that you really have to open up and expand your horizons. And this has been a community, I think, where people have been moving in that direction. And it will continue that way.
There's one more musical stop to make before leaving Elmhurst, and it's the world of Chinese pop. While the residential neighborhoods of Elmhurst are well integrated, you have to go to the last stop on the number 7 train, to the Chinese and Korean shops in Flushing, to find the right stuff. Alice Music is in the basement of the Sheraton Hotel in the center of China and Koreatown in Flushing. 18-year-old Jimmy Lee is browsing through a selection of Chinese pop music that he says is not quite as thorough as what you'd find in Manhattan's Chinatown. But he's a devotee, he says, much more than most of his friends.
I do have a lot of Chinese friends who were born in here, and they don't, I guess they're not adapted to this kind of music, and they're more exposed to the whole MTV and VH1 kind of culture. And I feel bad for them, you know. I mean, this is they're missing out on something really, really great. And it's sad, in a way.
For an introduction to Chinese pop, Jimmy Lee recommended this new release by the chart-topping Chinese singer Leon Lai. Before leaving Queens, I asked my guide, veteran Elmhurst observer Roger Sanjak, what he had learned as we traipsed down Roosevelt Avenue, looking into the record shops of the immigrant communities.
Each of these CD music stores we've gone into opens up a tremendous slice of a much more complicated world than most people walking by would ever think. I think for most American-born people, they would see an Indian store or a Chinese store or a Latin American store, but inside, there's a variety of languages and nationalities, classical musics, popular musics, movie musics. So in certain ways, music is this universal solvent that keeps drawing more and more into it and cross-fertilizing, cross-penetrating. I think they're special places.
For The World, I'm Marco Werman.
Our coverage of immigration issues is funded by a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. In Boston, I'm Lisa Mullins. Please join us again tomorrow for another Spin of the World.
The World is a co-production of the BBC World Service, Public Radio International, and WGBH Boston, and is made possible in part by the PRI Program Fund, whose contributors include the Ford Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation.
PRI, Public Radio International.